the Upset Mama podcast, coming in your ears every single day. So yesterday was the podcast about my dad, and I'm not going to apologise for it, because it is what it is. It was dedicated to my dad. That was for my dad. I don't care if you listened to it or not. I don't care if you thought it was crap. I don't care if you thought I'm a wussy for saying the things I said or breaking down or whatever. That was for my dad, and that's it. That's all that is about. And I'm not going to apologise for talking about my dad. And I'm not going to apologise. This is another podcast that's going to be me talking about my dad, because right now in my life, this is what's going on. And I'm not going to apologise for that. And if you don't like it, then I advise that you don't listen. If you want to stay subscribed, fine. You know, I'd love you to do that. But just don't listen to these ones. You know, it's going to be, I don't know how long it's going to be. Maybe I should stop doing these. But I feel like recording these and talking is helping me, you know, and I'm the most important person in this podcast, so if it helps me, then it's what's happening. Funeral is, we've arranged that. It's going to be on Wednesday afternoon, and it's the first funeral I'm ever going to be at, so I'm not looking forward to it. I was hoping that somehow there would be a less serious funeral in my life before I had to deal with anything involving my parents or my immediate family, but it didn't work out like that. So my first funeral is going to be my dad. My dad's death has been a few firsts. It's been the first death of a loved one I've had to deal with. It's been the first dead body that I had to see. It's been the first funeral I've had to plan. It's been the first funeral I'm going to have to attend. It's going to be it was the first obituary I had to write. That was, it was just a very simple thing. You know, we didn't want it to be fancy. It was just a very basic obituary, just to let people in the area know that he'd died if they want to take an interest, anybody who knew him. And my dad was very popular. I tell you, so many people knew my dad. My dad was one of those guys that once you met him, you never forgot him. He had, I don't know if it's charisma or the X factor or whatever you want to call it, but he had it. He had it in spades. And people didn't forget my dad easily, because he was unique. He was special. And I know it sounds like a cliched thing to say, but it's the truth. I didn't really think about it while he was alive. I mean, I always knew that he was popular and people knew him and he knew people, and you know, he got on well with everybody, and wherever we went, everybody seemed to know my dad. It was always, "Hey, how you doing?" And I'd always say, "Who was that?" "Oh, just, you know, so-and-so, and know them from some, you know, such-and-such," whatever it was he was involved in. And I never realised how important that was at the time. I just assumed, hey, you know, people know people, there you go. But it wasn't just a case of people knowing my dad. People liked my dad. They liked him a lot, and they took the time to talk to him. They took the time, if they saw him, to stop him in the street and talk to him. You know, not just a, "Hi, how you doing?" and pass on. They took the time to actually talk to him. Stop. Face to face. Talk to him. Ask questions. "How's the family? How are you? You know, what are you up to? How's your, you know," if he had something wrong with him at the time, how's that? You know, they cared. People not only liked my dad, they cared about my dad. And he was just that kind of guy. And like I say, I didn't realise at the time how special he was, but I know now, and I think about it, and he was one of a kind. And I don't just say that because he's my dad. I mean, he genuinely was one of a kind. He was just that kind of person. And it was quite sad in the last 4 or 5 weeks, because once he was diagnosed with the brain cancer, and remember, he was displaying symptoms of a stroke. That's how we discovered the brain cancer, because he just suddenly lost coordination in his speech, and he was kind of slouched to one side, and when the paramedics came, they even mentioned the word stroke, and everybody just thought he's had a stroke, but it turned out to be the cancer had spread to his brain. And after that, he was never the same. You know, he didn't talk the same. He didn't. In fact, you know something? Honestly, I can't even remember my dad laughing in the last 5 or 6 weeks of his life, because He couldn't. He just... It was... He could talk very well, to be honest, but it wasn't the same as it was before. You know, he was breathing differently, and when he would talk, it was slow, and he would struggle sometimes to get words out, and genuinely, it was like, if you think of somebody who's had a stroke, I guess it's the same idea. You know, the brain is being affected, and it's affecting everything about their speech and coordination, and imagine something like that. It was kind of like him. You could understand what he was saying. I mean, he talked fine. It was just slower, and it was just less... he wouldn't say so much because he, I guess, maybe it took more energy to do it. I don't know, but that was just the way that was. And it was sad to see, and everybody who came in to see my dad knew him before, and they knew what he was like, and so many people said that it was so sad to see him like that. That's not the guy we know. That's not the guy we remember. Where is he? Where is he? And I even said that at one point. I said that to my mum. I said, that's not my dad. Where's my dad? You know, he went into the hospital. Well, just before he went into the hospital weeks ago, you know, just before he got... Literally the night before he had the problem with his brain, he was normal, he was fine. That was my dad. And then it must have happened in the middle of the night, because the next day he was completely different, and it wasn't my dad anymore. And I didn't think anything about it at that moment. You know, when he went to the hospital, and then when he was coming out of the hospital, he'd been in the hospital for about a week, and we'd been told everything, you know, it's brain cancer and spread to the brain and everything. And I just thought, well, okay, that's sad. And then he was released from the hospital, and I had to go and pick him up and bring him home. And I was expecting to be picking up my dad, who I'd known before, that guy. I assumed he'd been in the hospital, he was fine now, they were releasing him, he was coming home. So he must be fine, he must be back to normal. But he wasn't. When I got there and I had to pick him up, he was breathing funny. He had these kind of weird hiccupy things going on, and he couldn't talk right, and he was breathing strange. And I just remember the whole way home, I was thinking, why have they released him? I couldn't understand why is he not still in the hospital? This isn't my dad. He's still ill. I didn't get it. I didn't realize that was going to be him pretty much from now on. And I remember saying to my mum, where's my dad? I didn't say that to my dad. I said it to my mum. I said, that's not my dad. That's not the guy that I know. It's not the guy I love. It's like he was one guy one minute, and then in the blink of an eye, he was this completely different person. But I know it was my dad. My dad was there. You know, he was in there somewhere, but he wasn't displaying the signs of being my dad. And then there were times when he did actually kind of, you know, it felt like he was getting a bit better, and he was able to talk better, and, you know, it felt like it was before, you know, and we'd be laughing and joking and things and talking about stuff and saying things that we'd said before and having a laugh about things. But like I said, I don't remember my dad laughing in the last 4 or 5, 6 weeks of his life. But he must have done. There must have been a time when he laughed. My mum and my sister, I am ashamed to say, spent more time with him than I did in the last few weeks of his life. And I'm going to have to live with that now for the rest of my life. And I regret that, you know? I regret that I didn't go and see him in the hospital more. If I'd known, it's one of those things, it's so stupid, you know? If I'd known, that's what we say, isn't it? You know, if I'd known, if I'd only known. We don't get given a manual at the beginning of our life that says this is when you're going to die and where you're going to die and the exact time. We don't know. But we always say afterwards, if I'd known, I would have been there for the whole thing, but life isn't like that. And to be honest, I don't think my dad would have wanted us to be there. I don't think he would have wanted us to be there when he was passing, because he would have known that would have been incredibly painful for us. And when we got to the hospital, We were told by the nurses that it was a painless, quick, comfortable death. And, you know, I guess by not being there and experiencing it, we can think how we like about how he died. If they tell us it was peaceful and comfortable and quick, we can imagine it being like that. I can imagine that it was painless and he was happy. And when we got to the hospital and we went in to see him, and he was laying in the bed and they had the sheet up to his neck, and his head was tilted slightly to the left and his mouth was wide open and his eyes were just a little bit open. And at first, they didn't prepare us for that. I'd always assumed that any dead body would be like on television. You know, when you see them in the coffin and they've got the eyes closed and the mouth is shut and they just look completely at peace. And I thought that's what we were going in to see. And I was a little bit, well, okay, I wasn't a little bit, I was a hell of a lot shocked at what I saw. I mean, my dad, I'd just been told about 30 minutes before that my dad had died. And then we had to drive to the hospital and they got there. And then we were just told it was quick, painless, comfortable, and that was it. And we were allowed to go in and see him. But we weren't warned that, you know, that what you've seen on television isn't necessarily what it's like. And we went in, and his head was tilted slightly to the left on the pillow. He was lying flat on the bed, and like I said, the sheet was up to his neck, and his head was tilted slightly to the left on the pillow, and his mouth was wide open, and his tongue, I remember his tongue was kind of, the tip of it was just behind the back of his bottom lip, and his eyes were just very slightly open, one slightly more than the other, and he was kind of looking to the left where he was facing, as if he was looking towards the door. And I was shocked by this. When I saw it, the first dead body I've ever seen is my dad. And I was shocked at what I saw. And it took a good few seconds to take that in, that scene. It was like, oh my God, you know, and there he was. And I remember, I was kind of glad that his eyes were open a little bit, because I was standing on the right side of the bed, right next to him, and I was looking at the body, and he was facing me, and I could see right into his eyes, and I could tell instantly, like I said yesterday, I could tell instantly that he was gone. And I said that to my mum and my sister. I said, he's gone. I said, look, he isn't here. You know, my dad is gone. And I said to them, you should each stand here and look at his eyes, because you'll see as well that he's gone, and that might help you. And they did. And I think that it helped me, I know that. And I think it helped them. I remember my sister agreeing, yeah, you're right, it's not our dad, it doesn't look like him. You know, you could see that whatever was there behind his eyes before wasn't there anymore, and I think that helped a lot. But he was kind of facing the door, and I guess at first I thought, is that how he died? Was he looking at the door when he died? Was he hoping to see us walk through the door? Was that his last thought? Was he looking at the door, thinking, where are they? God, it's so hard to just talk about these things. You know, I make these podcasts every day, and I talk fucking rubbish. And now, when I want to talk about something important, oh God, I can't do it. I can't do it. I just break down. This is, my voice is going all funny. Oh, this is just ridiculous. Oh man, I'm sorry. I'm just, you know, this can't be great to listen to. I know, if you know, that's why I understand if you don't want to listen to these podcasts at this time. If you want to wait till they're back to normal, then I understand. But I was wondering, was he looking at the door, and were his final thoughts, where are they? Are they going to walk through that door any second? Was he looking for us? And I remember coming home and saying to my girlfriend, my dad, he can't have died during his sleep because his eyes were open a little bit. And she said, well, he could have died during his sleep because sometimes the eyes just open up a little bit. She said the mouth usually opens. That's what happens. And the eyes, even when you're asleep and you die in your sleep, sometimes the eyes open up. And when she said that, it kind of made me feel a bit better, but I don't know if I really know that he was asleep. I don't know if I believe he was asleep at the time. I don't know. But at first, I was thinking, I was sad, because I thought, he's looking at the door when he died, he was wondering where we were. But today I was thinking, maybe he was in that position because he wanted us to see him like that as soon as we walked in. He wanted to see us when we walked in. Or he wanted that when we walked in to see him when he'd passed, that we would see him looking at us, you know, as if he was saying, look at me, I'm not here, you know. He wanted us to see into his eyes. He wanted us to see that he wasn't there, and that would help us, maybe. I don't know. I know my dad lost his father about 25 years ago, and maybe he experienced all of this. And, you know, we never talked about it. He never talked to me about his father. So I don't know what my father experienced there or how he dealt with his death. I don't remember my dad being openly upset about that, but my dad was older. I mean, you know, 20-25 years ago, my dad was 45-50, and he was older, and I don't know how close he was with his father, but I was very close with mine, so maybe it's affected me more. But I also think maybe my dad was just strong in front of us, and in private he mourned like I am now, because that's what I'm doing. You know, our whole family is being strong in front of each other, but I think privately, if my sister and my mum and everybody are grieving the same way as I am in private, then, you know, it's just the kind of family we are. As a unit, we're strong. We're strong in front of each other, because if one goes, we're all going to go. And, you know, I guess there's been a few times I've had to hold back, you know, gulp down a tear and just be strong and not let myself burst into tears in front of them. And I'm worried about the funeral, because I'm thinking maybe when we go to the funeral, it's going to be too much. And I know if I go, they're going to go. And I know if they go, I'm going to go. And, you know, I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be a private service. It's just going to be the family. And we've got the minister. He's going to be there. He'll just give a little service, and my dad wanted Abide With Me playing, so that will be the song for the funeral. And I went to YouTube last night, and I wasn't particularly familiar with Abide With Me. Apparently it was my dad's favourite gospel hymn, and so I went to YouTube last night, and I looked up a couple of versions, and I did recognise it, actually, and I really liked it. You know, I paid attention to the words, and I really loved it. And I think from now on it's going to be my favourite hymn. It's because of my dad. And my dad wasn't overly religious. He did believe in the Bible. He'd read the Bible as a kid, and, you know, he'd gone to church, and he believed in God and Jesus and heaven and hell, and he believed all that. But he wasn't. I mean, the whole time I've known him, he didn't go to church. And he wasn't the kind to sit and read the Bible or pick passages from it or even talk religion. You know, that wasn't my dad. He believed what he believed, and that was it. And that's what he thought about religion. And he thought that people should be entitled to believe what they want to believe, and they didn't have to go to church or pray or read the Bible or anything like that to be religious and to believe in God and heaven and things like that. And I guess I'm like that too. So I know I talked in the past about being, you know, maybe at one time I was an atheist and then I became agnostic, but I think I want to believe. Of course, I spoke about this yesterday, and I want to believe in an afterlife, and I want to believe that I'll see my dad and my loved ones again. And I guess I'm all for people believing what they want to believe. And, you know, this has taught me a lot. My dad, it's only in the past, you know, couple of day and a half since my dad's died, that it's really, everything he taught me is, I've realised it now, you know, things he would say, things he would do, things that I didn't pick up on at the time, but now I think about them and it just means so much, you know, everything that he said and did, and he prepared me for life without me even realising it, you know? I'm sorry if I keep breaking down. I'm trying to be strong, but just certain things I'll say and think about and it'll just make me tear up. But yeah, my dad prepared me for life without me even realising it, and I can never thank him for that, but I'm sure he knows, you know, I know he knows. And we've got the memories and everything that we shared, all the happy times, and, you know, I have a video of my dad, you know, I have things that we filmed, trips and things in the house and things like that, and I have photographs, and, you know, he won't be forgotten. Never. He'll never be forgotten. He'll always be here with me, and I'll always be able to watch a video of him if I want to remember him that way, and if I want to look at a photograph, I'll always have a photograph. My plan, he's been cremated, so my plan is to have him, he'll be in an urn, and we're going to put him on the mantelpiece, and I'm going to try and find one of those picture frames that has like 5 or 6 or more slots, and put in all our favourite photographs of him next to the urn, and then every time we pass it we can just look at it and smile, and, you know, imagine he's still there with us, and it'll be great. And my dad's wishes were also that he wanted to be he wanted his ashes to be spread somewhere here in Scotland. So at first I never spoke with my dad about that. I knew that that's what he wanted, and at the time I even remember thinking, I want to keep your ashes, you know, but I didn't mention it because it was his wishes, and, you know, I didn't want to make a big thing of it, because I know if I'd said to my dad, look, I want to keep you the ashes, he'd have said fine. He'd have said fine. But I've decided the best thing to do is to spread half and keep half. So he gets what he wanted and I get what I wanted. And my dad, he'd be happy with that compromise. So it's fair. You know, he'd understand why I want to keep the ashes, and he'd be happy that I'd want to keep the ashes. I think the reason I want to keep the urn and the ashes is because, to me, that will be my dad still, you know. And right now I'm talking to him all the time, and I just sit, you know, and I'll just start talking and think he's listening to me, and I'll say all kinds of things I want to say. And it's one of my regrets that I didn't get the chance to say everything I wanted to say, talk with him about everything, because naively I was an idiot. I thought there's always going to be a tomorrow, you know, because this is the first time I've experienced somebody dying and death and all of that, and being ill and leading up to death. I always believed there will be a tomorrow, there will be a next week. I'll be able to, we're so used to saying, I'll do that tomorrow, I'll do that next week. And I guess it's only now I've realised there is not always a tomorrow. And my girlfriend was telling me, she experienced her dad dying. He died of the same thing as my dad, lung cancer. And she told me so often, go and spend time with your dad, be with your dad, because you'll regret it. She said, spend all the time you can with him, talk with him, do everything. Even if you just sit with him and say nothing, just be there, because you'll regret it. And I knew what she was saying, and I was taking it in, and I know she was right, I knew she was right, but I didn't always take that time to go and see my dad in the hospital, and I really regret that. Had I known, of course, that he was going to be dead so soon, I would definitely have taken the time to be there. I'd have been there every minute, and when visiting times were finished, I'd have said, nah, I'm staying, I'm not going anywhere. But I was naive, I was an idiot, you know. I didn't realise how much a death affects you. I didn't realise how bad you feel after it. I didn't realise how much you miss the person, because you always think they're there, I can go see them anytime, and I can't now, and that really hurts. So my dad's urn will become my dad in my mind, and when I want to talk to him, I'll sit with the urn, and I'll talk to the urn, and, you know, I'll pretend he's there and listening, and I sometimes might even pretend that he's replying to me, you know, and see, but I don't know. But I know one thing, and that is that I've never felt this kind of sadness in my life before. And I don't ever want to feel this again. I don't know if I will feel this again. I mean, you know, I guess one day my mum is going to die, and I love her very much too, and I wouldn't want that to happen. So, but I do know what my dad has taught me through his death is how important it is to spend time with them, how important it is to say what you want to say when you can. Just do it, you know, don't put it off till tomorrow, just do it, get it done, get her done, as Larry the Cable Guy would say, you know. And that's another thing that he's taught me through his death, is how important it is for that. So if my mum or my sister or anybody else I love close to me is ever in that position again, I'm going to take the time. I really am. I'm going to be there. I'm going to spend every minute I can with them. I'm going to say everything I want all the time. And I don't care what anybody else thinks or, you know, whatever gets in the way. I'm going to move mountains to be there. And I know I should have done that with my dad. I should have moved mountains, but I didn't. And I can't change that. I just have to learn from that and move on and come to terms with it and deal with it. And it upsets me greatly. And when I think about it, it makes me really sad. But I know, like I said yesterday, my dad wouldn't have wanted me to be there sitting by his side wasting my time waiting for him to die. He wanted me to be out there doing what I wanted to do. Because he was that kind of guy. He loved me and he wanted me to be happy, and you know, he knew that I loved him and that I wanted to be there all the time. He knew that, and he knows now, wherever he is, you know, he knows now how I feel. And I won't make that same mistake twice. I'm going to be there every other time. But my girlfriend was telling me all this stuff because of what she'd been through, and I just didn't listen. You know, I was stupid, and I just thought I knew better, and I always thought, hey, he's not going to die. I guess it never really, I don't know if it's because he's my father, or if because I'm just an idiot, or I just didn't want to accept it, but there was never any part of me that really thought he's going to die. That happens to other people, you know, other people die, your dad dies. Your mum dies, your uncle, your granny, your brother, your son, your daughter, your best friend, your teacher, your whoever, you know, they die. My dad doesn't die. I guess I was hiding behind a false sense of security, and it all came crashing down around me. And I'm worried that I'm usually quite a happy, bubbly person, you know, I do get sad about things. And I'm usually snapped out of it in like an hour or two, but this time I'm not. I mean, I'm just so sad. And everything I do, I think about my dad. And everything that we have to do, of course, makes me think about my dad. And just sitting in a chair or listening to music or watching television, I can't do it. It makes me feel sad. I can't concentrate. Lying in my bed, you know, I go to sleep talking and thinking about my dad. And I wake up. I hate going to sleep because I wake up and it just reminds me, you know. Usually you wake up from a nightmare, and I'm not waking up from this nightmare. And it hurts. And I wake up. Last night was the first time. Until last night, I hadn't slept for more than a couple hours in the last 2 days. And last night, my body told me, you need sleep. You know, my body took care of it. It just said, right, that's it, sleep. And it practically knocked me out all last night. But I did wake up several times, and you know, you roll over and you think, and it just hits you, and you, oh my god, my dad, you know. But I was fortunate that last night I was able to get back to sleep, and then this morning I woke up crying, and I took a few minutes just to, you know, let that out. And I think it's important to get that out. I'm not the kind of person that cries in front of my family. I can do it in front of my girlfriend. You know, I have a very different relationship with my girlfriend than I have with my family. And I guess that all stems back to my childhood and, you know, the kind of family we are. But I keep, with in front of my family, I keep my emotions all bottled up pretty much. And I try to be strong all the time. You know, as much for myself as for them, you know. I mean, I need to be strong in front of them. I want to show them that, you know, I'm being strong, and I don't want to be the one that cracks and then they all crack. And, you know, and I don't know, somebody would tell me that's stupid. Don't worry about it. You know, if you cry in front of them, they're going to love you even more. And if they cry, then fine. It's what people do, you know. In fact, maybe if you cried in front of them, it would give them the permission to cry in front of you. And then it would be fine. Everybody would be happy. Everybody would be getting it out there. But yeah, it's just not the way we work. But I can do it in front of my girlfriend, and I can do it in private. And I think it's important that I'm crying, because usually I don't cry at things. I get upset and I get sad, but I don't cry. But these couple of days that have just gone by, I've really cried buckets, and I think it's good for me. You know, I usually bottle things up. I don't want to do that this time. This time I want to let it out, you know, in private, yes, but I want to let it out. I want to take the time. I don't want to wait till after the funeral. I don't want to wait until a month down the line. I don't want to wait for a couple of years and let it all build up, and then it'll just, you know, become a massive explosion of pain and tears. I just want to let it out now, as it happens, gradually, and I hope that's helping me to deal with things. And I know that in a week, or 2 weeks, or a month, or a year, I won't necessarily feel like this. I won't feel as bad, and, you know, I maybe won't even cry anymore when I think of my dad, because it'll just be happy memories that are there. Right now I'm grieving, and I'm mourning him, and I'm dealing with the loss, but in a year's time, it's going to be not so much about loss, it's going to be more about celebration and remembering. And that's important. My girlfriend has been a rock for me. You know, she's been there, and she's wonderful. And I really appreciate that she took the time to be there and listen. You know, I don't know if she had anybody like that when she was going through all of this with her dad, but I hope she did. I don't know how her family responded to it, or if she had anybody to even just talk to. I don't know if her and her brother did, or, you know, if her and her mother or granny took the time to sit down with each other and just cry and sympathize with each other. But she's doing that with me, and I really appreciate that. I'd also like to say thanks to anybody who sent emails with their condolences. Thanks very much. I really, I really appreciate that. You know, it's so nice that there are people out there who listen to my podcast and care enough to send their condolences and just say, hey, you know, I listened to your podcast and I'm sorry for your loss. And I could hear the pain in your voice, and I know how you feel because I've been there, or, you know, I'm going through it now, and, you know, whatever. And, you know, if you have somebody in your life right now who went through the same thing as my dad, if they have lung cancer and it's spread to their brain, then I can now tell you from experience, and you might not, you might do what I did when my girlfriend was telling me, and you might completely ignore what I'm telling you, and that's fine. I understand, because that was me. But I can now tell you from my own experience, if it's got that far, be there. Tell them what you have to tell them right now. Just do it. Because they could literally be gone in weeks or days. I mean, you know, my dad, 4 or 5 weeks, and he was gone. And he was, up until about Sunday, he was perfect. You know, he was, I mean, yeah, he was ill, and he was in the hospital, and he wasn't the same way as he had been before, but he wasn't on death's door, you know. He was still there, and then suddenly, in a couple of days, it all changed, just gone. And that is something that I can't jump in a time machine and go back and change any of that. So if you're going through something similar, then really, believe me, go and be there if you can. If you want to be, go and do it. If you don't, then you probably will end up with regrets like I do. But you know what? I know that it's easy to say, because I was there. I was the one being told all this, and I didn't listen, and I have the regrets now. So if you're going to go on and be the person who isn't listening, and you've got the regrets, then I understand. I know there are lots of people out there, millions of us. You know, every single day, millions of us, we lose people and we have regrets. And I think even if you took the time and you said all you had to say, you'd still have regrets about something. You know, it'd still be there in the back of your mind. So, I don't know. But really, if you're listening and this is going in your ears, do it. Go and do it. If you want, if you can, just do it. But try not to feel too bad if you don't. Although you will. I mean, you will. You'll hurt like hell, like I am. You'll regret everything. You'll be sad. You'll cry. You'll beat yourself up over it, of course. And I'll tell you now, that's the worst part. I'm always going to have these regrets. I'm always going to live with them. And you can't go back. So whether you listen to me or not, I've told you what's going to happen. You know, if you do it, you'll feel better. You'll still have regrets about things, but you'll feel better. You won't have regrets about that. And if you don't do it, then afterwards you will feel like I do now. You'll feel like an idiot. You'll think, all these people who had experience told me and I didn't do it and I should have done it. And I didn't. So, I don't know. Just do what you have to do. I wish I'd listened to my girlfriend more. I wish I'd taken in everything she said more. I wish I'd acted upon what she told me more. Well, that's the thing. I wish I'd done this. I wish I'd said that. It's all there. It's all regrets. I will tell you something, though. Doing these podcasts, doing this and talking, it is helping me. This is helping me. So, I mean, if you're not listening to this, if you're still listening to this, then thank you. You know, but if you're not, it's fine, because this is helping me, and that's the main thing. And I'm just, maybe you'll want to do this, if you're going through any of this now, or in the future, and you may want to do this, you know, even if you just don't upload it to the internet, it's not a podcast, just get a tape recorder, just sit down, or even, not even just a tape recorder, just talk to yourself, say this stuff, this is actually helping. Yes, it's sad, you know, it's bringing up stuff that's making me want to cry, but I can feel it helping. But, I'll stop talking now. I think I've said what I want to say, and, you know, I'll probably, over the next couple of days, Wednesday's going to be the funeral. Over the next few days, maybe up to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'll keep talking about this subject, probably. So, I'm going to do that. But, I've got plenty of time to... Oh, see, there I'm going again. I've got plenty of time. I'll do it tomorrow. That's the wrong attitude. I'm going to have to change that. I'm going to have to teach myself that tomorrow may not be there. Do it today. I'm not going to record, you know, 10 podcasts today. And I'm definitely... I can't talk about what's happened on Tuesday or Wednesday today. So I might as well just... That's one thing I can't... I will have to put off till tomorrow. But I really do feel like I've said what I want to say in this one. So I'm going to end this. And thank you if you're still listening. Thanks to anybody who's listened to any of this. Thanks for any emails of condolences. And I feel like I'm still sad. And I know I'm going to cry a hell of a lot more. And I'm going to be upset for a long, long time. But... I feel like I will get better. My dad wouldn't want me to be sad. He wouldn't want me to be sad. It's a part of the grieving process. It's a part of death. But he wouldn't want me to be like that forever. And I won't be. Because he taught me. He taught me how to deal with this. I know. He's taught me everything I need to know. I just need to find it. You know what I mean? I just need to find all those memories of everything he taught me. Everything he talked about. Or did, that taught me how to deal with things like that. And once I remember that memory that teaches me how to be happy again, I will be. And it's thanks to him. So anyway, till whenever, thanks for listening. Take care of yourselves and do what you have to do. And goodbye for now.